It's good to be here this morning, and it's good to see you out. And we're going to continue our series, Faith for the Journey. You know, recently I was reading a story of a Christian salesman, and you know, sometimes those don't go together, Christian and salesman. But it was a Christian salesman who was able to maintain his testimony, yet succeed greatly in a competitive field. So he had a friend ask him once. He says, "How do you sell your product without any deception or running others down?" Well, the man looked, he said, I believe in my product. So instead of running others down, I just simply show the value of what I have to offer. And I thought that was good, especially as we get into this message this morning, because we're going to talk about faith. And as we're nearing the end of our series, we're going to begin to see the value of faith. I hope and pray over the past several months you've seen, from all the examples given in Hebrews chapter 11, you've seen how faith can benefit your life. But the last few verses, we're going to see the value of faith. And we're going to summarize those verses, is what we're going to do over the next few weeks, so we can see the importance of living by faith. You know, we're going to see what faith has to offer and why it is important for us as believers to live by faith. The title of this morning's message is Faith That Produced Great Deeds. Faith that produced great deeds. Now, I'm going to attempt to do something this morning I have never attempted to do, so I hope it doesn't backfire on me. I have 8 points. I figured if I had 8 points, I better hope that the food stays warm, or I better hope that you write fast. And I decided to go with the latter of the two and hope you write fast this morning. So we're going to go through these 8 points rather quickly, but you'll see they tie together. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading this morning in verse 33. He says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for those that are here this morning. I pray that you'll teach us from your word. Please challenge our hearts. Please encourage our hearts this morning from the Scriptures. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll work in us and provide the spiritual need that we, each one of us has. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, anything done for God's glory, anything at all done for God's glory has to be done by faith. And if you want a reference for that, Hebrews 11, notice what it says in verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Notice what it says there. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, if we come to God, if we're going to please God, we have to live by faith. Even as believers, if we're going to please God with our lives, it's not about what we can do, but it's about faith and believing in God and living by faith. I told you I'm going to give you 8 points this morning. I want you to notice, as we summarize these two verses, and the reason why I say summarize them, we've actually went through a few of these points in detail over the past few weeks. And so when we get to those, I'll kind of reference back, but I'm not going to get into those in depth because we've already done that. But I want to summarize these two verses, and I want to, hope that you notice the value of faith and how faith can not only did it produce great deeds, but in your life it can produce great deeds as well. And the deeds that God would want you to have in your life. The first one we noticed this morning is that by faith, they were enabled to subdue. That word subdue means to overcome after a struggle. We find it there in verse 33, "who through faith subdued kingdoms." Now obviously this refers probably to Joshua, to Caleb, to David, and the list goes on of others in the Old Testament who lived by faith and were able to overcome nations and to subdue kingdoms. But you see, faith, the Bible tells us here, that faith enabled them to do this, their faith in God. Now, faith in God is greater than any kingdom. Even today, faith in God is greater than any nation. That's because we're putting our faith in God, not in men. Now, today, you may not be preparing to go into battle and to subdue any kingdoms. At least God hasn't called me for that. But this morning, think on this. We all deal with the enemy of sin. We all deal with temptation. We all deal with trials and struggles. You know, by faith we can overcome temptation. By faith we can subdue temptation. Temptation's a struggle. You know, I've often thought, after I was saved, I thought, man, it's going to be easy to be a Christian. Boy, was I wrong. There are so many temptations out there, and it seems like the older we get, yes, we should grow in the Lord, but the temptations don't become any easier. Sin is still sin. And the older we get, we should, yes, be better prepared, but you know what? We can still fall. We can still stumble. By faith, we can subdue temptation. We can live for God. Here's another thought I'll give to you. By faith, we can overcome sinful addictions. You know, there are sinful addictions in this world. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, those are sinful addictions. Just some examples. The Bible tells us by faith in God, we can subdue those. What's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 say? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You realize that if God is with you, all things are possible this morning. And I believe if God is with you, he can provide the power to subdue any enemy that may come against you. And that, spiritually speaking, that includes sin and any troubles in sin. So put your faith in God. Secondly, we find that faith enabled them to produce, and the Bible tells us, to produce righteousness. It says there in verse 33, wrought righteousness. Now, that word wrought means to work or to produce. Now, these people, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about men and women who already belong to God. And through their faith, were able to produce works of faith. That's what James was talking about. You shall know me by my works. In other words, if I have faith, you're going to see it. And see, these people in the Old Testament were able to produce works of righteousness. And even at some points, they directed others to be righteous as well. And challenged and encouraged others to do what was right. You know, God has saved our soul. Here this morning, if you're saved, your soul is secure. Now, you can struggle in life and you can make mistakes, but if you're saved, it's settled. It's taken care of. God has settled the matter. You know, God has went above and beyond for us. Not only did he save your soul, but he established us. The Bible tells us that we're established in his Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, we have a sure foundation that God has placed us in. Now, you think about building a house. You're going to have a house that lasts. You're going to have a strong foundation. There's a reason why they have a crew that goes in that lays the foundation before they begin to build the home. Now, you can go build a home without a foundation, and it may last for a period of time. But if you build it in the wrong part of the nation, and you get some high winds and some tornadoes, it's going to be gone soon. No matter where you build it, eventually it's going to go away because there's no foundation there. You see, the Bible tells us that we're established in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because you're saved in Christ, you have a foundation. There's something there that you can depend on. Also, God has given us his word to guide us. I thank the Lord for his word. But we have a guide for life. You know, a lot of times we neglect the Bible, or we just, fail to read it. God has given us a guide to help us through with our troubles, our trials, our struggles, whatever else we may come across. We have a guide here to help us and to show us how we're to live for God. That's what we have, is a guide. But you know, God has even given us something else. How about the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, once you're saved, that the Spirit now dwells within you. Paul talks about us being the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in the life of the believer, and the Holy Spirit will lead the believer. That's why we're encouraged not to quench the Spirit or to grieve the Spirit, because the Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. This morning, nothing is required of us but to live by faith. That's it. Now, that sounds simple, and it really is. The Bible says God has provided everything for a believer to live a life that's pleasing unto him. God hasn't saved us and then said, okay, now you figure out a way to please me. We are to live by faith and please him the same way that we approached him for salvation, and that's by faith. You see, God has made us able, I guess you say, to succeed. God didn't set us up for failure. God has provided a way for us to succeed spiritually. You know, if you ever visit any kind of, Little League or some kind of young people's basketball or football events, you watch a game long enough, you're bound to find somebody take a ball in disgust and throw it down, or take a bat and flip it down after they strike out. Or kick a football out of anger, or a soccer ball. And you're also bound to hear a coach or a parent look and say, it's not the ball's fault. Or it's not the bat's fault. You see, this morning, if you're discouraged, if you're a believer, if you've trusted in Christ, and if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, or if you're overcome with a sin, and I say this in love, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. We can't look upon God and say, God, it's your fault that I'm struggling with this, when God has given us everything we need to live a life that's pleasing unto Him. Obviously, the fault comes upon us. And I don't say that to get us more discouraged. I say that to challenge us to look within. You see, when children throw a bat or kick a ball and the coach tells them there's nothing wrong with that, that's not so they can quit. That's for them to understand, hey, it's not my tools, it's me. I got to adjust the way I'm doing things. I got to clear my mind. I got to make sure I'm approaching this correctly. You know, as believers, if we are struggling, it's not God's fault. You see, there's nothing wrong with His salvation. There's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ, the Son. There's nothing wrong with the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with this book. You see, that's the problem. People are trying to change it instead of abiding by it. This morning, if there are problems, what we need to do is examine our heart. And if it's sin, confess it and separate from it. If it's discouragement, put our faith in God and trust in Him. You see, this morning we find that faith enabled them to produce righteousness or works of righteousness. And I really believe it can do the same for us today. In 2013, God, faith in God can enable us to live a life that's pleasing unto God. Here's number three. Notice it says there, we see who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. And then it says, obtained promises. You know, the faith enabled them to obtain promises from God. That word obtain means to have or to attain. In other words, to hold on to and make it yours. That's what faith enabled them to do with God's promises. You know, by faith, we go beyond knowing God's promises. Now, there's a difference between knowing something and then having it as yours. I tell you, there's some nice vehicles out there that I know about. They're not mine, though. I'm not driving them today, but I know about them. You see, there are promises in the Bible we can know about. Salvation's one of them. You know, you can know about salvation and not be saved. You can know the way of salvation. You can know God's plan, yet not accept it as yours. Not believe on the promise. Not only the promise of the Son, but also promise of forgiveness that comes with salvation. You see, this morning, by faith is how we obtain those promises. By faith is how we are saved. Salvation is for all. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But according to Ephesians 2, it's by grace and through faith. This morning, I hope and pray everyone here saved. But if not, salvation comes by faith and by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. You can get that settled. Now, how about after we're saved? You know we need to serve God by faith? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We must abide in Christ. We must live by faith and allow God to work. You know, one other thing I want to point out before we move on to the next thought here this morning is the Bible doesn't tell us that we are enabled to obtain riches. See, that's the misconception in many churches today and amongst religion is that God wants us all to be rich and wealthy. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. Now, there were some in the Bible that God blessed with careers or positions of wealth, but there were some God chose not to. You see, that's in God's hands. Now, if God has blessed you with a great job or a career, be thankful. Praise God and understand that you've been blessed. Keep your priorities. Love God and don't fall in love with the things of the world. Likewise, if God has not blessed you with that, praise God. Maybe you'd get into more trouble if you had it, and that's why God didn't give it to you. Praise God and be faithful and content with what God has given. Next, let's see that we're going to find. We're running through these. I got to hurry up so that way we get all through all these, all eight of these this morning. He says they're out of weakness. We're made, or he says, escape the edge of the sword. Verse 33, I got ahead of myself. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Then he says, stop the mouths of lions. Now, I'm not going to get into this too much. A few weeks ago, we had a lesson on Daniel and the faith he had. I believe that's primarily referring to Daniel. But here's a few other thoughts that I didn't share with you on that day. First, David also overcame a lion. The Bible tells us he did that out in the field, overcame a lion. And Samson did the same thing. And the Bible makes it clear those were acts of faith. They had faith in God, were able to overcome those lions. Now, the lion was considered the fiercest animal known to man during the Bible times. And if anyone defeated a lion, especially the way some of these men did, that was a great act of courage. You see, this morning, what we find here, here's the lesson for us. By faith, it is possible to not only overcome these, but to continue, kind of like how Daniel did. He continued through opposition. He was opposed. He was attacked. And the Bible tells us by faith, we can continue through that. Now, maybe there's someone here this morning that can relate. Maybe you are opposed in your family or at work or wherever you are because of your faith. Do you realize that if you put your faith in God and you live by faith, that God will provide the strength to continue? And why is that? It's because God is able to protect. God is able to bless. Now, here's our fifth one. He says there, there's verse 34, quench the violence of fire. Now, this is another one I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because we had a message on this. But here's another thought here. This obviously goes back to the three young Hebrew men back that were friends with Daniel who went into that fiery furnace, God blessed, and they escaped. You know, when you think about those men, they made three stands that day. They stood instead of bowing down is the first thing they did. You know, the king played all that music so that they would fall down before that idol. The Bible says they stood instead of bowing down. This morning, that's what we need. We need to stand for God instead of bowing down to idols or to things of the world. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we make a physical stand, but how about a spiritual stand in your own personal life? Instead of compromising and saying, well, that's no big deal. How about we stand for the Bible and stand for God and we remain faithful to the Lord? Also, those men stood before the king. You see, by faith, they were given boldness to stand before the king. Now, this was a tyrant of a king. Nebuchadnezzar could just say it and they were done. But they boldly stood before him, not because of who they were, but because they had faith in God. And finally, we also saw that they stood in the fire. Now, I guess that's the point here of this passage. They stood through that fire and God blessed them. Now, why? Why were they enabled to do this? By faith. You see, faith believes not only in God's power, but faith also believes in God's wisdom. You know, we often talk about the power of God. You know, we want the power of God. We want to see God work in our life, provide these blessings. But let's not forget that faith also trusts God's wisdom. In other words, it trusts that God knows the situation that's taking place in your life. And it also trusts that God will work correctly through that situation. You see, God will work all things out for good, according to His will. See, that's faith. That's faith in God's wisdom, that God can decide and God can choose, and that we believe He'll choose correctly. You see, that's what these young men did. They had faith that God would make the correct choice. The Bible tells us that they told that king, Nebuchadnezzar, they basically said that they were willing to stand, and if God would spare their life, good. If not, then so be it. They were not going to bow down to that idol. You see, they trusted in God's wisdom. Now let's notice next. We see that they were enabled to stand in the fire. That's what faith did. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire. And then it says there, escaped the edge of the sword. Now last week we talked about this concerning Mordecai and Esther. Escaped the edge of the sword. I tell you what, two people who were defeated, had no hope. They were decreed to die, and the Bible says that they put their faith in God. But you know, there were others in the Old Testament who fit this example. I think of David when he fled from Saul into the wilderness when he was a young man. He put his faith in God. Could you imagine going from the palace to living in the fields and caves? I tell you what, you'd be tempted to say, God, you sure you know what you're doing? He put his faith in God, and God blessed him. How about Elijah when he fled from Ahab? Now, he was discouraged. You talk about a man who was discouraged and distraught. God didn't let him down. And God actually encouraged him. And Elijah put his faith in God. How about Elisha when he was delivered from the king of Syria? You see, there are other examples, many of examples in the Old Testament, of men and even women who believed. And because of their belief, their faith, they were enabled to be victorious. That's the point there. They're enabled to be victorious. To have victory over their problem and over the situation that they faced. You see, they trusted the Lord. Each one of them. When you read those passages, they trusted God. They did all that they could, and then they waited for God to work. And this morning, I want to challenge you to do the same. If God has allowed a trouble or trial or difficulty in your life, do all you can, trust in the Lord, and then wait upon Him. And be faithful, and I believe the Lord will bless. You see, God has a plan. We just need to trust Him with it. Now, finally, or next, we see that they were some of these in the Old Testament were enabled to be strong. It says, out of weakness were made strong. Now, this is an interesting one. This one covers a lot of different examples, I believe. They were able to perform deeds, basically, beyond their natural abilities. That's what it's telling us there. Now, I'm not saying that they were supermen or superwomen. I don't think the Bible's teaching that. But they were able to do things that appeared to be impossible. Or they're able to perform things that others said it couldn't be done. You know, the first one that comes to my mind, and maybe it's just because I heard the story so many times in children's church, is David and Goliath. I tell you, that shouldn't have happened. This young shepherd boy, without any experience as far as fighting, going up against not only a veteran, but a champion of war. And here this young shepherd boy comes out on top. He went by faith, and God blessed. You see, by faith, he was able to become strong. I think of Jonathan, David's friend in the Old Testament. You know what the Bible tells us he did? He scaled a mountain or a cliff with his armor bearer, just two of them, and by faith they defeated a garrison of Philistines. You see, that's faith that enabled them to become strong and do things that others said you can't do. You know, this morning there are missionaries who understand that. There are missionaries who went to a foreign field and people say, you can't go there. They won't listen to you. They won't hear you. But guess what? Some of them are still there. They've got churches. They've seen souls saved, and God has blessed. You know, there are people that have went to cities or areas of cities, and people say, you can't go there and start a church. There's no interest there. The people there are lost. They're worldly. Well, you know what? There's churches in places where there shouldn't be churches. And why is that? Faith in God. Someone went by faith, and God enabled them to be strong. This morning, I want to encourage you to put your faith in God, and God will enable you to have the strength that is required, whether it's a trial or whether it's just living life and serving Him and being a blessing. You see, I think, and I want to give you a warning here on this, I think here we are kind of reminded that we have to put our faith in God if we're going to have strength and power. We need to be careful of having misplaced faith. And I think that happens today. There's a lot of misplaced faith. You know, there are some who have misplaced faith when it comes to salvation. They believe. I don't doubt their belief. I don't doubt their sincerity. But the faith is placed in the wrong person or the wrong thing. Some have placed their faith in a religious teaching or a religious organization. Some have placed their faith in a church building or a church denomination. Some have placed their faith in water, baptistry water, whether it's out of a river or out of some church's baptistry. I don't doubt the sincerity of those people, of those individuals, but if their faith is placed in something that has no power, they can have all the belief in the world. But if there's no power there, it's useless. You know, the Apostle Paul kind of refers to that. That's what happened to him. And then when he put his faith in Christ, his life was changed. You see, where we place our faith determines the power of our faith. Did you get that? Where you place your faith will determine the power of your faith. Even as believers, as we live by faith, we have to make sure our faith is placed in God. Our faith is not placed in the things of the world. Now, we may have to, there's nothing wrong with living in the world and partaking, you know, having a job and having this world. But we can't put our faith in those things. Our faith has to be in God and in the Lord. And we have to guard against that. I believe that's what Paul was referring to in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. I want to read it to you. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what Paul's saying? He says, beware, because there are going to be people who are going to want you to put your faith in them or in their methods or their organization, and they're going to encourage you to take your faith away from God. Now, they're not going to take your salvation, obviously. You're saved, you're settled. But they can discourage you, because I tell you what, you're going to find out eventually. You put your faith in a person, you put your faith in an organization or a thing, you're going to find out eventually that's going to let you down. You put your faith in God and you're going to find power, real power to live for the Lord. Now let's move on to our eighth and final point. They were enabled to be valiant. And we find that at the end of verse 34. It says, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now that word aliens, we've got some young children in here, so I want to clarify this. We're not talking about an alien invasion from another planet. This is referring, the word aliens refers to a hostile invader, but it's talking about from a foreign land. Basically, someone attempting to come in and harm the nation or harm the country. You see, God enabled them to be valiant against a violent force or against an enemy. You know, faith in God provided courage is what it did. I think it was D.L. Moody. Someone once asked him if he was able, if he thought he would be able to give his life for God, to be a martyr, and to die for God. And his answer was, I don't know. He goes, but I believe God will provide the power if the time should come. You know, this morning, that's really how it is. Yes, we can talk big. You know, sometimes we say, I can do this, I can do that. Even as adults, we talk big sometimes. But when it comes down to it, you know what? There are situations, if we're honest with ourselves and inside we say, you know, I don't know how I would react. Or I don't know how I do this. That's when we say, by faith, I believe God will provide. I believe God will provide the strength, the ability, the courage that is needed at that moment. And that's what God did throughout the entire Old Testament for those that trusted in Him. He provided, by faith, they trusted in Him, and He enabled them to be valiant. In other words, to be brave and to be courageous and do the work that He had for them. And they were victorious by faith. You know, I think of the New Testament. I think of Peter walking on the water. I'll tell you what, that was faith. And you can say what you want. You know, there's some, I've heard sermons and read books about people, and it's almost as if they're running Peter down because he took his eyes off God. Yeah, he made that mistake. But we always have to remember, he's the only one that stepped out on the water. Where were the other apostles? They were still in the boat. They weren't going to step out. He went by faith, and he walked on that water. You see, if we're going to live by faith, we have to go by faith. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. You know, if you're going to do anything by faith, you have to be willing to go and to walk with God. You know, I think of missionaries once again. If they're going to go to a foreign field and they're going to see souls saved, they can't just sit down at the chair and say, okay, God, I'm a missionary now. Take care of the rest. They got to be active and they got to go and they got to get to that nation and then they got to begin to do God's work. This morning, it's the same here for each one of us. If we're going to live by faith, we have to go by faith. Each and every day, we have to put our faith in God and trust in Him that He'll guide, He'll direct, and not only provide power, but also His wisdom will be correct in each situation. You see, they were rewarded by faith. You know, this morning, some may say, well, why is this so important for us? I'm going to give you a few thoughts as we get ready to wrap this up this morning. You know, we go back to Hebrews 10, verse 38. And this is where we kick the entire series off. Hebrews 10, 38, it tells us there, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, the just are those that are justified. What I mean by that, or what the Bible means by that, is that those that are right before God, their standing is set. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here this morning, if you're saved, the Bible tells us or teaches that you are justified. That means you have peace with God, and your standing before God is secure. You're saved is what that is. That's the Bible teaching of salvation. That things are settled between you and God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10 that the just shall live by faith. In other words, after you're saved, you have the new life. You're to live by faith, not by sight, not by personal desires, not by your wants or your wishes, but by faith in God, trusting in the Lord. Now, the entire letter of Hebrews deals with faith. From chapter 1 all the way to the end, it deals with faith. You see, the Hebrews were struggling with something. The Bible tells us that they were discouraged. You know, any of us can become discouraged. They were discouraged due to trials and persecution. You know, there's an indication that they were persecuted greatly during this time. And because of this, many returned, or they left Christianity, so to speak. They returned to their rituals and their ceremonies of their old religion. And those that remained were tempted to leave because they were discouraged and they were being attacked. And Paul basically challenged them in this letter by saying, the just shall live by faith. You know what? If you belong to God and if you're saved by faith, you're going to continue by faith because you've been changed. And the just shall live by faith. You see, they were to continue with God because they belong to God. That's why they were to continue. They belong to God. Even if they were oppressed and discouraged, they belong to the Lord, so they were challenged continue with him. Also, they were to wait upon God, even if that waiting seemed endless. How many of you prayed for something and you're still praying for it today? Wait on God. Trust him that he's got a plan, that he's hasn't forgotten you, or he hasn't forgotten your request. Be faithful. Wait on him. Also, they were to have confidence in God, trusting that he could work not only in what they could see, but work things out in what they were unable to see. You know, I believe if the Lord chooses to show us, I don't know if he will or not, I believe if he chooses to show us in heaven how he worked on our behalf in life, I imagine we're all going to be surprised at how much work was done, I guess the phrase I'll use, behind the scenes, and what we could not see or didn't even know. And God was working on our behalf, perhaps through someone else, maybe protecting us from things, danger we didn't even see coming. It reminds me of children. You ever see children in a parking lot? Parents are usually grabbing them or holding them. You see, all they see is a wide open parking lot and a place to run. They have no idea what cars are coming or what's happening. And parents, on the other hand, a little bit taller or a little bit wiser, hopefully, can see these cars and the troubles and everything else, and they either grab hold of them, pick them up, or guide them or direct them and keep them safe. You know, I imagine God works that way in our life as well. And so just because you don't see something happening, just because you can't see God working, doesn't mean he's not working. Have faith that he is working. You just may not be able to see it right now. And you may never see it. God may not show it to you here on earth. And maybe when you get in heaven, God may say, he may show you the problems and trials that he protected you from. Or the direction he provided without you even knowing he was working. You see, that's having faith in God. I was reading where one man said that God is looking for people whom he can do the impossible with. And then he said this, what a pity that most people only plan on doing things that they can accomplish themselves. And you know, that's true. God is looking to bless us by faith, but often we're just not willing to live by faith. It's all by sight, all that I can plan and everything that I can figure out, instead of trusting God. You know, I think the Old Testament saints had the same questions we do. When, where, why, how come? How long is this going to last? The answer for us remains the same, and that's faith. God is still working. God has not changed. You know, the attitude has to remain the same as well. Let's never quit. Let's never be discouraged. Let's wait on God, and I believe we can accomplish great deeds by faith, just like they did. You know, faith is confidence in God. That's what it is. Faith is not a feeling. Don't get confused with that. A lot of people think faith is a feeling. It's not a feeling. Faith is active conviction based upon God's word. What it is you know God's word. You trust it because you trust God. That's what faith is. You trust God. You put your faith in him because of his word, because not only of what it says, but because you know him, that he's kept his word and he will keep his word. And that faith, that's correct faith. That's the faith that produces actions. And that's the faith that produces great deeds. This morning, I'm going to ask you two questions and we're going to have a word of prayer. First, do you believe in God? Or do you believe God? You know, that's a simple question. How about, are you living by faith? Are you living by faith this morning? I hope you are. I hope you're trusting God on a daily basis, not only with the things you know about, but the things that are out of your hands, that he'll take care of them. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for providing for us. As we have this time of invitation, if you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning in any way, I pray they seek you out in prayer and that they get the matter settled. We pray you bless this invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart at all this morning, please seek him in prayer. You can come down to the altars, pray down here, or you can pray right where you are. This morning, our message was on faith. Maybe there's someone here who has been in church. You've tried to do good, but you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you're not sure of your salvation, or you have questions concerning salvation. If that's the case, you can come down this morning and someone can show you from God's word what salvation is.